The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the individuals participating in the show. All persons described or mentioned in the podcast should be considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. This podcast contains subject matter such as violence and graphic descriptions along with adult language, which may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
On February 21st, 1997, a man from Ellensburg, Washington, calls in to the Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. He makes a claim that is unbelievable. But is it true? Or is it complete horseshit? You're listening to the Mysterious Bruce Podcast. And tonight we bring you the case of Mel's Hole.
When did you discover this hole?
Well, the hole has always been there. We've been out there for a couple of years now, and the hole has been there since we've been there. It's been there since the previous owner was there, and the previous owner there was quite elderly, and I'd say he was there for a good 30, 40 years before we moved in.
Wow.
I mean, if you don't love that opening, that opening right there sums up how this podcast has survived for 5 years.
Hey, they don't call me one take coach for nothing.
He nailed it, bro. He nailed it. And the good news is, minus my screw up one time in 230 episodes, nobody would ever know if you didn't.
Yeah. Well, when you go and you go ahead and post the uncensored version, when you got my 90 fucking takes on there.
I still have yet to figure out how that happened. Because
we all know how it happened. You fucked me over.
No.
And it backfired because everybody loved it.
If I had to guess, it was post-COVID brain fog.
Yeah, bullshit. Yeah, post-COVID bullshit is what it was. And you were like, I'm going to fuck this motherfucker over. And then everybody loved it.
No, I'm pretty sure I have not. But yes, that's usually how it works. Our screw ups usually take off well, and then we're like, yeah, man, this is gonna work, and it goes like a shit storm. However, I will say a former student we shouted out, and I thought that was him on the 5-star review last week. Wasn't 100% sure, but trust me, I got confirmation when he listened to the episode. So, yes, thank you. All 5 stars are appreciated.
Which one are you talking about? Red 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11?
No, blue something.
Oh, my God.
Don't you? Oh, my God, man.
Oh, my God. Arlo, look at her butt. It is so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends.
Yeah, she does. Oh, my God.
We're still waiting for that Brett dude to reach out from Audible.
I know, man.
He don't listen no more.
It's crazy. We got
so much good feedback from that terrible review. It wasn't a terrible review. It was 5 stars, but let's just say overly honest.
Yes, overly honest.
I only listen to podcasts with very good quality and production, except for this horseshit.
I was about to say, boy, did we disappoint. If you listen to us on Spotify, please let it. They are making some kind of crazy change. I don't know. So there's a lot of updates, everything's going for the best, but, if for some reason you can't find us or it's bad quality, please let us know. Cause us, we'll change hosts in a hot second. Omega Blue. There you go. Omega Blue 5-star review.
Did you just say we would change hosts?
Yeah.
You can't change hosts.
I meant hosting services.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me. I was like, what the fuck, man?
No, you're stuck with me. I'm stuck with you. We're like two bad pennies.
Yeah, you know.
So
you're so ambitious that you think you could do this on your own. But no, time and time again,
the hell I don't. I don't want to do it. If it was left up to me, I would just not.
If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be able to. So.
Like, somebody's depending on me.
Like, you could carry on, coach. We needed your show. We don't need Arlo. Bullshit. I don't know what the fuck to do.
Every week, I'm like, I just don't. I'm just tired. I just want to go to bed. And I'm like, but somebody's depending on me. I got to do it.
Well, clearly, the unedited version is people's favorite. So,
well, somewhere on a computer that needs a battery charger, there is our, you know, we used to keep up with our outtakes for, shit, I don't know, the first 2-3 seasons. And I would cut them. Well, you didn't, but I cut them. I would cut them and keep them in a separate file. Those of you, I have no idea what episode it was, but those of you that have started listening to us from the get-go, you may can tell us which episode it was. But Coach used to have these battle axes, and he was fucking around one night and damn near cut his leg off. And that broke into a Garth Brooks singing.
I do remember almost cutting my leg off. That was pretty fucked up. What's crazy is, like, I'm getting, like, feedback from people that, like, have started from the beginning, and they're, like, trying to catch up, and they'll message me and be like, hey, episode 64, episode 83, you really didn't give a shit, did you? And I was like, nope. I was like, tell me what case it was. And they tell me, and I'd be like, I don't remember that one. So clearly I didn't care. Like, he must. I said, Arlo picked that one. I guarantee it.
Oh, guaranteed. If it's a shit one, guaranteed.
Those are the ones where I'm like, hey, man, what? Like, hey, you got your opening? I'm like, what case are we doing?
Oh, hell, here we go.
Whoops.
All right. So I do not. Anyway, I was checking.
Finally, we're covering something that doesn't include murder, rape,
torture,
abductions, or disappearances. We're finally covering a lighthearted case.
Yes. Yes, we are. I was trying.
Anyway, go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
To see.
We got any new patrons?
No, we do not. But
we don't for have the any new reviews.
Post Brew Hangover episode for our lovely patrons. Why does it do this? We have an update on the Giants of Arizona. Well, look.
Which Giants? Arizona.
Where the lady said that if more people went out looking for Giants, we would.
For them like they did Sasquatch. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Maybe they are Sasquatches.
Yeah.
Maybe. Do you ever think about that? No, because you only think about yourself.
Why is it yourself jumping around? Oh, that's why. Okay, so. Oh, we got a shout out on our Patreon about new patrons. That's awesome.
What did they say?
Peace Cat, OG, was like, new patrons, whoop, whoop. I'm like, hey,
she like them. I mean, she like, oh, when we say OG, she might be like the OG. She's top three. First three.
I believe it was her or Miss Walker one was like, y'all need to shit or get off the pot. Just make a Patreon page and I'll join. And we're like, okay, we'll have one.
Yeah. Like, she right, man. We might want to do that. Like, she said, she was like, hey, dumbass, I will give you money if you give me a chance.
And yeah.
We were like,
okay.
Well, okay. I like money.
I like that money.
I like money. Hopefully, with any luck, this time tomorrow, well, 26 hours from now, I'll win that Powerball and I ain't got to worry about this bullshit no more.
God, I won $2 off the last one.
I won $4.
Heck yeah. We're about to break through.
That's what I said. I was like, we're just chipping away. We're chipping away. Eventually.
I got the Powerball this time. Next time I'm gonna get four in the Powerball.
I coached a kid in wrestling one time, and every time we were at a tournament, I'd see him like looking in the parking lot to pick up pennies. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, why are you wasting your time? He looked me straight dead in the face. He said, Coach, pennies make dollars.
I said, well, boy ain't lying.
I'll shut the fuck up then. I'm just going to be over here watching you, but I'm going to be shutting the fuck up. That's what I'm doing with the lottery. Dollars will make more dollars, and eventually I will be a millionaire.
Yes. Yeah.
And I will be a full-time podcaster.
Yes, this podcast will be absolutely amazing.
You give me $800 million, we will do every episode on site. Like, we will go to the crime scene.
Or we will build a reenactment set.
Like, we were coming to you live from West Memphis, Arkansas.
As the bullets fly by, Coach and I, this is the exact spot.
We are on the grassy knoll in Dallas, Texas.
Speaking of which, don't let me forget that about my recommendation. I was sitting here thinking, man, I had a recommendation. It was painful to get through it because everybody and their mother asked questions. But I do have a good recommendation if you are conspiratorial in the minded.
Well, good. I hope you have two recommendations because I ain't got shit.
I don't know fuck about shit, my man. All right, here we go.
I'm gonna have to think of something.
So, male's hole is what we are discussing tonight. And as
Coach... Don't get perverted.
Yeah, I know.
It's a hole in the ground. It's not a real...
male's hole. It's not his hole.
It's not male's actual hole.
No.
It's his just, hole on his property.
He's got a hole in the ground on some property that he owns out there in... how do you say it? Kittitas County? Kittitas County?
Man, fucked if I know. Say what you feel, man.
Okay. It's out there in Washington.
Say what you feel.
So, as Coach said, it all began on February 21st, 1997. Art Bell, yes, the one and only coast-to-coast fame, was hosting his show when a man called in claiming his name was Mel Waters. And he had this crazy story. And lo and behold, his story sparked a phenomenon. Into the paranormal that is known as Male's Hole. So, Mr. Waters or Male claimed that there was a bottomless pit on his property in Kittitas, Washington. Now, he also claimed that this pit, well, whatever you want to call it, had strange mystical properties, and it was, among other things, able to bring dead animals back to life.
Yeah, said that somebody threw their dog, who had died, threw it in the hole, and the next day the dog was on the porch. Like, I'm assuming the dog was like, "What the fuck, man?
I was just chilling, taking a nap."
Hey, what's your problem?
Dang it. So a cursory search by Art Bell's listeners found that Mr. Waters was very knowledgeable about the area in Washington, but could not find any record of a Mel Waters ever living in the area. Well, and here's like, everybody's like, well, it must be fake. They couldn't find Mel Waters. Well, first of all.
Well, he probably used a pseudonym.
That's what I was about to say. If you look up Arlo, I don't think you're going to find me.
No, you probably won't.
Yeah.
But you might stumble upon Justified, and it is a damn good TV show you need to be watching.
It is. So I really don't have any problem with them not finding anyone named Mel Waters of record. He did have enough knowledge that most people that went researching him found out that he obviously had lived in the area for some time because he knew a lot of local knowledge. Now, one thing I can say, if you call into the Art Bell show, Art can smell a rat a mile away, and he will flat call you out. He is brutal. But his listeners do their due diligence, too, and would report back. So Mel's story passed the smell test not only with Art, but with the listeners as well. And it passed it so well that he would not just be a one-and-done caller. He never wavered in his claims, and he would call into Art's Coast to Coast show four more times between 1997 and 2002. Each time his stories got weirder and weirder, and then after the fifth call, he just up and vanishes like a fart in a dust storm.
You know, I really never listened to Coast to Coast, but I probably should have. I think it's still on the air, right?
It is. It goes back and forth between George Norrie and George Knapp hosting. Yeah, I really like George Knapp.
Art Bell died. I think George Knapp did too.
No, he's still alive. He's got weaponized.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Him and Jeremy Corbell are doing a weaponized podcast about the UFOs.
What the fuck do you mean weaponized?
That's the name of the podcast.
Oh, that's the name of it.
It's okay. Called Weaponized.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant that he was weaponized. I don't know what the fuck that means, but
it sounds impressive, doesn't it?
If you want to hear a very scary segment of that show, look up the Area 51 caller on Coast to Coast.
Well, either that one of them, because I think if you look at, well, Area 51 caller, yeah, okay. The other one is the scary. Area 51 pilot when he, that son of a gun, I'm going in.
I ain't heard that one.
Oh, it's but a good one.
The Area 51 caller about the former employee, that one's scary. And yeah. Then, like, right as he's giving all his big spiel, like, the power goes off. Like, the radio, the radio station
loses power, and they have to jump to a backup generator. Yeah, and so Art's freaking the fuck out.
Definitely. And it's the only time that ever happened.
Yeah.
Ever.
So I didn't listen to it.
Ever.
I know people that would record all, shit, what was it, 5 or 6 hours he was on the air?
Who the hell knows? It's AM, man. They can do whatever they want.
They would record it. But I will say that when I first got married back there in the early 2000s, when I would get up to go that duck hunting, it would still be playing. So I would catch like the last hour and a half or hour of it. And so sometimes that's back when they offered the episode digitally, if you knew the date and time, so you could go back and you could listen to any episode that they ever had. So it, you know, back in time with Art Bell, but, they had some other things, but like I said, Art didn't fuck around. Like, if you come in there and you had your radio on and there was an echo, he would just hang up on your ass.
Have you ever, like, really listened to AM radio? Like, have you ever tuned into AM and, like...
The talk side of it, or...?
I'm talking, like, any of it.
Well...
To me, AM radio, there's something about AM radio that's fucking creepy as shit.
Well, that used to be the preferred bandwidth.
It might be, but they never fucking... you're not going to tune into AM radio and hear contemporary music. You're going to hear fucking...
The gospel.
You're gonna hear big band radio. You're gonna hear fucking
WLJ.
Like, you're gonna hear like racist people talking about politics, and you're gonna hear like fucking big band radio. You're gonna hear Glenn Miller.
Shit.
Like, it's just creepy, man. I'm telling you. Speaking of creepy, I meant to tell you this before we got started. This is a little sidebar. Speaking of creepy. No bullshit, and I'm not joking at all. I can't explain this. I don't know what's going on, but today is Friday, March 29th. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, all 3 days while at work, I received a phone call from Mableton, Georgia. Same number, and I'm not joking when I say this. When I said hello, the voice on the other end sounded like my deceased mother.
What?
Trying to say my first name, but only getting in like the first syllable out, and then it cuts out and it's silence.
Was it the same time each day?
That's a good question. I don't know. It's around the same time. It's between my students eat lunch at 11 and they leave at 2. So it's between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. every day. And it sounds like her when she used to yell at me when I was in trouble. You know, that type of tone. And it sounds, I swear to God, it sounds just like her. But like the start of my first name, and then it cuts out. And no matter how long I stay on the phone, they don't hang up, and it's silent the whole time. like Tuesday it happened, and I was like, well, that's weird. And I'm just like, hello, hello, and nothing, so I hang up. Wednesday, I did the same thing, stayed on a little longer and hung up. Yesterday, I stayed on the phone. I'm like, I'm going to let them disconnect. And it was like 3 minutes.
Dang.
And it's still clicking away. And finally, I'm like, okay, I have to work. Like, I got to hang up. But, like, so literally, it's like, get it! Like, that long. Like, that.
Dang.
Yeah, dude, it's creepy as hell. But I don't know. I don't know where. We're from Georgia. I don't even know where the fuck Mapleton is.
It's over around Lanner.
Where?
At Lanner.
Is it?
Yeah, it's on the.
Anyway, but like.
I was trying to think if it's over there.
You know how, like, your phone will tell you if it's potential spam or whatever.
Yeah.
It won't tell me that. It doesn't say spam, but when I call it back, it just says your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Mapleton is right there near Six Flags.
Oh, God. That's like
Austell.
That's like the Springs, man.
Austell, Mapleton, Six Flags.
Yeah, that's like right next to Lithia Springs. Lithia Springs is a hellhole. That was my first teaching job. Dude, I've told you horror stories about that place.
Yes, you have. And I was like, what? I would have turned my resignation in that day I found out all that information.
It was such a bad experience that I was determined that if that was what teaching was like, I was never going to do it.
And then
I told that principal that I would sell oranges under an overpass before I would ever step foot in that fucking building again. And I haven't. I never will. Luckily, I got on at Cooser.
At the Cooser?
And I met you.
And it's all been downhill since.
Yeah, it has. My life was good, man. Son of a bitch.
I mean, I worked in a shithole. I changed schools. I met this asshole. And then it's just been downhill.
Anyway. All right, getting back to it. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent. I did mean to tell you that before we got started.
That is crazy as shit, though. All right, so.
It's very crazy. But I'm telling you, like. I'm telling you, I know my mother's voice.
Right. Yeah, that would be something that
you
would know.
So when you hear it.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
I'm talking like shivers.
Yeah.
Goosebumps type shit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It didn't happen today, but it happened 3 days in a row.
Hmm. So Mel initially reached out to Art retelling the discovery of the hole on his property. He shared intriguing details regarding its immeasurable depth and the peculiar phenomenon he had witnessed. Now, following his appearance on Art's show, several locals would call in regarding the hole, saying that, hey, they had heard about something similar when they were growing up. Some backed up Mel's claims, and others were even crazier stories. One story stated that the hole was a gateway to an alternative realm, or a portal through which spirits travel. The thing that was missing for non-believers was the concrete proof. Well, no shit. I mean, hell, if it was concrete proof, we wouldn't be covering the damn thing. But anyway.
Exactly. It would be a fact.
Right. So official records and substantiated reports of disappearances is all that remains, because we just don't have no concrete proof about none of this happening. Well, no shit. But anyway, all right. So 4 days after calling into Art's show, Mel was confronted with a startling scene on his property. The road leading to his house was blocked by armored military personnel carriers and armed military personnel. These soldiers barred Mel from accessing his land. This left him surprised and puzzled. Despite his attempts to get answers to why his property was inaccessible, he was given some vague and cryptic bullshit excuses. The men alleged, eventually, that the reason they had to cordon off his property was because of a plane crash on said property. Now, Mel was like, I'm not buying what you're laying down there, Slick, because I have not witnessed, heard anything crazy the day before or this morning before I left, and I don't see any signs of a crash like smoke or debris. So Mel became even more perplexed when he saw individuals walking around his property in hazmat suits. When he demanded an explanation asserting his ownership of the land, the military countered with veiled threats insinuating the possibility of discovering incriminating evidence like a drug lab on his property. Undeterred, Mel vowed to go public with the situation, but the officer dismissed Mel's warning. Now, despite Mel's efforts to negotiate with the authorities and gain some clarity, the situation remained shrouded in secrecy. The involvement of the military added another layer of intrigue and complexity to this already crazy story of Mel's hole. Following the encounter with armed military personnel, Mel once again took to the airwaves and he called in to the Art Bell Show. This would be the second of his five calls, and Art would once again extend an invitation for Mel to actually come out to the radio station to make an in-person appearance. So adding adding even more weirdness, during the call, Mel shared that his real estate agent had suggested potential buyers were expressing interest in purchasing his property. While no concrete offer had been made, the real estate agent conveyed confidence that a lucrative deal was just mere days away. Mel would go on to reveal a conversation with a local indigenous tribe elder who disclosed intriguing details about the property's history. The elder mentioned that the hole had once been surrounded by stone columns, suggesting a potentially older age of said hole than previously assumed. Another caller would poise that the oddities had to do with Mel's hole being in close proximity to the Yakima Training Center. Now, this is a government facility, and everybody knows them government facilities. They house and weird shit.
It give me.
Yeah.
It there give me right there, man.
Now, this would lead credence to why the military possibly could be cordoning off his property, but you also have to take into consideration where Mel is saying this is taking place. It also has a reputation for UFO sightings and peculiar phenomena.
Well, of course.
Oh, you muted yourself, our genius. Double punch that space bar. Control 8.
Do you ever think there might be a reason I muted myself?
Well, you mid-sentence? No.
Yeah, I was. I kind of was. But there was a reason.
Do you toot? Do you do the old tootins on the air?
I had a cough.
Oh, I'm a little flimmy myself. You know, that pollen, it's getting to me.
I was saying, of course, it's got UFOs.
Okay. So now that we got that covered, unbeknownst to most people following this tale on the Art Bell Show, Mel basically fell off the face of the earth after this second call.
Did he fall in his hole?
That's what people said. He didn't just jump down that hole and he's gone. It was not until 2002 that he made a surprising comeback on the Art Bell Show. Mel was scheduled to appear for a third time on the show, but he found himself entangled in what one would consider a peculiar sequence of events. While helping his nephew move into an apartment, Mel got on a bus to head back to Olympia, Washington. During said bus ride, about midway to Olympia, the bus is stopped, and it's because there is an onboard disturbance. And I have not read anywhere what it was. Was it fisticuffs, an argument, somebody pooped their pants? We don't know. But Mel would basically, along with everyone else on the bus, get off, and they kind of hurried them into another bus with, you know, basically trying to get them where they're supposed to be. Once he's on the second bus, that's the last thing he remembers. When he awakes, he finds himself in a alley in San Francisco, California, with none of his personal belongings on him, and he's connected to an IV line.
What the hell?
Yeah. Now, adding to the mystery even further, he's missing some of his molars. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they done yanked out some of his toofuses.
His teefers?
Oh, them here are chompers.
They got him teefers?
Yeah, some of them biggins in the back. Now, desperate, disoriented, he gets, I guess, enough wherewithal about him, and he calls his nephew, who comes to the rescue, and basically gets him patched up and gets him back to Olympia. When he gets back home, he has a hell of an offer on his plate.
Hell of an offer.
Yeah, basically, someone is asking to lease his property in a perpetual basis for a substantial sum of money of $250,000 per month. But the catch is, Mel's got to be quiet, and he's got to get the heck out of there. For $250,000 a month, you can rape and pillage my land. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I don't. You do whatever you want.
Yeah. About 6 months.
Whatever makes you happy, brother.
Yeah, about 6 months into that, it doesn't matter. If you run out of money, as long as, you know, that would be my thing. We talking, but you know, minimum 6 months. I need that money up front. You know, times are tough. But anyway, because, you know, daddy needs $1.5 million.
I need more than that, man. I'm telling you, if I hit that Powerball tomorrow, bruh.
Now, agreeing to
everybody
the term.
Everybody going to know my name. I will make the national news, brother.
You wouldn't be subtle about it?
Oh, no. There'll be signs.
Now, agreeing to the terms, Mel accepted the money, and he said, peace, and moved to Australia.
He said, deuces.
Yes, he did. So, he's gone for about 5 years. And then 2002, he comes back and decides, you know what? Heck with it. Which, hell, if he's been making $250,000 a month for 5 years, why not? So he breaks his silence. And during his hiatus, Mel's Hole had basically become a cult classic on the Art Bell Show. But there was also some emerging reports about baffling incidences occurring near and around the hole. One of such was a mysterious black beam that emanated from said hole like a beam of light, but it was completely devoid of all black light. Mel himself added to this intrigue by sharing the unexpected discovery of a dime which appeared out of place. It featured an image of President Roosevelt, which was dated 1943. Now, this was peculiar because dimes with Roosevelt's portrait were not minted in 1943. Also adding to the oddness, the coin's mint mark that indicates where the dime was produced bore the letter B. The problem with that is B as in boy.
That's crazy because it should be D or P.
That's right. The problem is there is no U.S.
CC one. That's a good one.
There is no U.S. currency minting city associated with the name B.
Do you know where the CC is? Do you know? Do you know?
No, but when you say it, I'll be like, oh, yeah.
Carson City, man.
That's right. Come on. I know. Shit. See, I told you.
God.
I'm such a loser.
How do you feel to go through life being a moron?
Well, I could tell you, but you'd have to be here. So basically, he's got this dime. It's got Roosevelt's picture on it with the mint mark of B. There's no city that's ever minted U.S. currency associated with a B as in boy. And Roosevelt's picture was not on a 1943 dime. They were not minted. So Mel...
That might be worth something.
Yeah. So Mel sends the coin to an appraiser for evaluation. But wouldn't you know it, when he followed up a few days later, The appraiser said that the Treasury Department had swooped in and confiscated said dime.
Of course.
The reason behind the confiscation remains unclear, which has sparked...
Damn government.
This has sparked various speculations and theories about this unusual coin. Certain interpretations suggest the potential connection between the coin and an interdimensional phenomena associated with Mel's Hole.
A phenomena?
Phenomena. Now, reports of time distortions linked to Mel's Hole contribute to the oddity of the site, too, with some individuals claiming to have encountered time-related anomalies in proximity to the hole, with stories involving time dilation, where basically time stands still, if you don't know what that meant. Then, it also, people report that time flows at a different pace than usual. Others have claimed that their clocks, both manual and digital, have stopped working or malfunction. And some have even reported missing time, where they could not recall a significant amount of time near the hole. Various theories have emerged to explain those purported time-related phenomena. Speculations have ranged from hypotheses about gravitational anomalies causing time dilation, and it has gone as far as interdimensional rifts occurring at the hole. Attempts to test the depth of said hole have also come up with some crazy things. I don't know if this was...
He claimed that it is, what, like 85,000 feet deep?
Yeah, well, that's what I was about to say. I don't know if this is his attempt, but someone tied a...
No, it's his. I listened to the first phone call. It's on the YouTube if you want. And, yeah, he claims that he attached a one-pound weight on the fishing line.
I thought it was a roll of Lifesavers.
No, he said a one-pound weight. I thought it was a roll of Lifesavers, too. That's what I've heard. But on the phone call, he says it's a one-pound weight.
Yeah, he said it hit bottom after 80,000 feet.
No, he said he never hit bottom. He said he 80,000 feet of line, and he still hasn't hit bottom. He said he brought it up after like 1,500 feet. He brought it up to see if he had hit water. And then after that, he just keeps...
He free spooled it.
Getting to the end of the spool and just tying it off and getting another spool. And we're talking 85,000 feet. That's twice the depth of the Marianas Trench.
That might be significant. I bet he's touching the center of the earthuses.
Dude, I don't know.
Somebody in China's upset.
Yeah. Eventually, somebody in China's going to see a damn one-pound weight.
Dangling outside.
coming straight up out of the ground.
Yeah. So, he would also say that it had peculiar properties, like it lacked an echo, and some animals were afraid to approach it. Now, he said that he had brought some dogs with him, and they wouldn't go anywhere near the damn thing, quote.
That is correct. He said they don't want nothing to do with it.
He also claimed that a black beam had been seen emanating from the hole. According to the Seattle Times, portable radios held near the hole would play programs and music from years past, and metals held close to the opening would transform into other substances. At one point, Mel said his neighbor, and this is where the dead dog comes in, threw his dead dog in the hole only for it to be seen alive and well on its porch a few days later. Now, I don't know, maybe you can speak on this one, but I couldn't find anything about this other than he said once he called in to Art the first time, his wife disappeared and his land was removed from satellite images. I hadn't heard anything about his wife disappearing until that little blip.
I didn't. If he said it in the first call, I didn't make it to that part.
Now, here's something that's very odd. Well,
if his wife disappeared, I guarantee he threw her in the hole.
Yeah, that's probably true. Now, here's an oddity. He says...
He's talking about they're throwing trash in it. anytime they just got something to get rid of, they just throw it in the hole.
What's that series that I got fed up with after like five or six and it's got a hole out in the pasture?
Oh, that's on Amazon, son of a bitch. It's got Josh Brolin in it.
Yeah.
Hold on, give me a damn second.
Yeah, it's similar to that. Well, why don't you look that up?
That's a good ass show. I can't believe you gave up on it.
Yeah, I just gave up on it. But anyway.
Outer Range.
That's right.
Outer Range.
Outer Range.
We're about to have a second season.
I might pick her back up.
You need to give that show a chance, you jackass.
I gave her six episodes and I just got tired of it.
It's only got seven episodes, you dumb son of a bitch.
I know. That's how tired I was. I was like, I just don't have it in me to finish it.
Oh, I hate you sometimes.
Now, Mel said that he visited a Basque settlement in Nevada. There he encountered a similar hole with supernatural properties. Like his, this one appeared to be bottomless and animals were afraid to go near it. While experimenting on this second one near this settlement, the Basque people would lower a bucket of ice into said hole. Allegedly, according to Mel, the hole would transform the ice into lukewarm, flammable substance that would not melt but could burn for months on end. In the most shocking, or not in the most shocking, but one of the most shocking claims, Mel stated that he and the Basque people had lowered a sheep into this hole on their property to see what would happen to a living thing. By the time they raised it back up, it was dead, but it had a massive pulsing tumor on it.
Gross.
And of course, the Basque people were like, hey, let's cut that tumor open. And Mel's like, ah, you better not. You better not.
She said it was electrical. Oh, yeah, man.
Totally. Totally. So when they cut it open, it revealed an 18-inch long creature that resembled a seal, but it had human eyes. Mel stared at this creature and said it looked back at him with an expression of the deepest compassion. He said the Basque people then returned the creature to the hole. Mel would make his final call into Coast to Coast sometime in December 2002. In it, he stated that the government had become aware of this other hole on the Basque land and that they had taken the burning ice away, and he believed that he was currently being followed. He also claimed the Basque people had informed him that the creature had visited their village a number of times since they'd brought it back to the hole and tried to warn them about the dangers of said burning ice. Mel was not the only one who insisted upon the existence of a supernatural hole in the state of Washington. One Gerald Osborne, a shaman who goes by the name of Red Elk, also claimed to have visited Mel's hole.
I was about to say, there's no way there's a shaman named Gerald. Well, he's my shaman. It's Gerald.
You know, it's Gerald. You know, Gerald over in the Catatus Valley intertribal shaman. You know, oh, Red Elk. Oh, you mean Red Elk. Shit, why didn't you say so?
Gerald.
Now, Red Elk would have claimed that he had visited Mel's hole many times since 1961 when his father first showed it to him, according to the Daily Record. Now, Red Elk believed the hole led to a secret underground government facility and that it was also a hub for alien activity. Damn government. In 2002, Red Elk led a search expedition for said hole. He was joined by a group of believers who had met on a chat forum dedicated to Mel's hole. The enthusiasts believed that finding the hole might bring answers to major questions about the universe. Quote, every geologist in the world should be here, Charlotte LeVever, a search coordinator for the expedition, said in an interview with the Seattle Times. Quote, they need to pay attention to this, end quote. Unfortunately, the group was unable to find the original Mel's hole. But there had been talk of a mysterious hole in the county long before.
long before
Mel went on that Coast to Coast show.
To be fair.
Now, Jay Nickel, who was 34 at the time of the search, grew up in the city of Ellensburg. Now, that is the largest town in Catawba County. He said as a teenager, he and his friends came across a hole that sounded a lot like the one Mel was describing. It was too deep to see the bottom, and he claimed no sound came from it when you would throw rocks into it. An employee of a snowmobile dealership said the story of a hole on the Manitosh Ridge has been common local knowledge for decades. Quote, lots of people talk about it. Could be something out there, but I've never seen it, end quote. Now, many, many a people have tried to debunk the legend of Mel's Hole over the years.
Why would they do something like that?
Because they don't have none of that air concrete proof that it exists. And if you don't have that concrete proof, it don't exist. That's what they say. Now, experts say the magical pit that he has described is not only unproven, but it is physically impossible. Here we go. Jack Powell, a geologist with the Washington State Department of Natural Resources, I don't believe none of them government folks, said a hole of this depth, quote, would collapse into itself under the tremendous pressure and heat from the surrounding strata, end quote.
It would definitely be hot down there. Let's just put it that way.
Yes. Powell's had first heard about the hole on Art Bell's show. So here's my thing, genius. You call yourself a geologist for the DNR, but you're listening to that Art Bell on your free time? I don't think you're a geologist at all. Not at all, I say. Anyway, basically, this guy says that he had heard about Mel's Hole from Mel's first call into it and said, quote, I knew Art Bell's stuff is basically Sasquatch and UFOs and the like, but it was sort of entertaining when Mel called in. He said that once he heard it was over 80,000 feet deep, he knew it was a hoax. That's what brought it to him. Oh, it's not the fact that a fucking dog that was thrown in it showed back up alive. That didn't clue you in that it might be fake. You based your whole thing.
Don't you dare say it's fake.
I don't think it's fake, but here's my thing.
Why the hell would we be covering it? We don't cover fake shit.
He's debunking this whole thing because Mel said it was over 80,000. Now, boy, you had me with that, you know, them dogs coming back to life and that black beam coming out and there was no sound coming out of there and these seal-like creatures coming up with human eyes. Boy, you had me until you said it was 80,000 deep. Now, that's just horseshit. Like, really? It was the 80,000 foot one that got you. I knew
it's it. It's a totally plausible story.
Man, you almost got... I need to find that damn clip of Ron White. Are you lonely? Yes.
Yeah.
Do you want to write me a check for $5,000? No.
Are you sitting in a beanbag chair eating Cheetos?
Naked.
Yes, sir. You want to write me a check for $5,000?
Woo! Damn. There must be some lonely, hungry son of a bitches out here.
I thought he was talking about me for a second.
Oh, man. All right, so our boy, who has now just been like, fuck it, it's fake, he said that he is pretty certain that Mel is referencing an abandoned gold mine shaft that Powell used to play around when he was a kid. He said that that shaft went into the ground at an angle, and it was likely around 90 to 300 feet at the most deep. That shaft was on private property, and it's fenced with barbed wire, and it's close to some of the Washington State DNR lands. Quote, I suppose this Mel Waters used the real hole as a kind of inspiration for making up his mysterious one on the Manitosh Ridge, Powell would say. Now, there's other people that throw shade on it, but one of the other things that I saw was kind of the aftermath of his calls into Art Bell, and Milton Waggy A historian with the Ellensburg Public Library told KEPR in 2012 that after Mel Waters' first call to Art Bell's show, the library phone was ringing off the hook with stories and theories about the hole. Then the library's file on Mel's hole went missing. Quote, it just disappeared, which lends itself to the mysteriousness of Mel's hole. Did Mel take it?
Did they throw it in the hole?
Well, he said, did they take it? Did it just kind of rise out of the locked file cabinet? You never know. There might be a hole out there, end quote. Now, Red Elk still insists that the hole exists, but he has stopped agreeing to do interviews on Mel's hole and warns that humanity as a whole is better off not knowing where it is at. Quote, don't look for the hole. Stay away. I have to say I've been burned by you guys, the media and all, many times with this Mel's hole. They make me out to be a liar. They say one thing and do something else. The hole isn't important. Just stay away from trying to find it. The government has it. It's totally off limits, end quote. And like we said, Mel has never been heard from since 2002. Maybe the government got him.
Maybe he died, man. You never know.
Well, that is true. Now, I did see it was not listed as each phone call on the YouTube, but I think you can find all five phone calls on YouTube. They're about 20.
Yeah, we can find the first one.
They're about 20-something minutes long. I was trying to see what they were called, and I can't. Obviously, I can't find it, but anyway. The guys over at Sunday Cool have a YouTube channel, and they've got little short clips. That's where I had seen this kind of gain traction again. And for those of you that don't know Sunday Cool, it's the guy with the long hair and beard, and he's got his baseball cap around backwards. It's him, another guy, and a girl.
Oh, hey, I watched that.
Yeah. They've got some like good those clips. Yeah, like Mr. Ballin, too. I don't think Mr. Ballin's covered this, but I really like that there, Mr. Ballin. He's pretty good. I mean, if you don't like Mr. Ballin, you ain't good pokes.
I wish we'd get him on here.
Man, I watched him on another podcast, and he like fixed his hair. It wasn't wearing a baseball cap or a flannel shirt, and he didn't even look like the same guy. But anyway, okay. So, what do you think? You think it's real?
No. Honestly, I don't. He lost me at 85,000 feet.
Boy, he had me up until that 85,000 feet. I was right there with him. Well, all right. So here's my thing. There's no telling what's out there, you know, with some of these mine shafts, sinkholes, and stuff like that. And I think of the outer range. I don't think it's going to have that inky, ilky looking shimmer to it. But I'm sure there's some wells or mine shafts out there that some strange shit goes around. Do I believe everything that he stated happened? No. But I'm pretty sure maybe he did see something mysterious come out of it that was black. Maybe he couldn't find the end of it. Maybe he ran out of fishing line and he just exaggerated the 80,000 feet. As for the dog, that's where I'm kind of like, I don't know about all that.
I mean, I can believe the dog. I can believe it all, but 80,000 feet? I mean, that's just crazy.
Some poor Chinaman's getting beaten the head every day. This damn weight's just hanging out the sky. I don't know, man. I'm kind of like, you know, what we say in most of these episodes. I want to believe that's true. I just, and part of it probably is a little bit true, but I'm sure 90% of it's been embellished.
What if it was like for real, like 300, 400 feet deep, and he's just like literally just put 80,000 feet worth of fishing line down. He just doesn't realize he's hit the bottom. Man, some bitch still going.
Well, see, that's my thing. Like, I would suspect within 90 feet, you would hit some kind of water.
Maybe. You never know.
You know, some of those Expedition Bigfoot, other things where they, you know, Expedition X, Josh Gates's Expedition Unknown, some of those, when they find these abandoned mines, you once you get so far, you start getting into the groundwater seeping in. And so I guess that's where I'm kind of like, was it really dry after about 100 feet, or was it really dry after about 300 feet? That's where I'm kind of like, I don't know about all that. Well, I told you that I had a recommendation, and it is twofold. It's the same basically, it's the same thing. There is a book out there when I was, 14, 15 years old. I got really eyeballs deep into the Kennedy assassination conspiracy theory, and was like enthralled with Jim Mars. And if y'all don't know who Jim Mars is, he wears a, I think it's a dark forest green fedora. He's got snow white hair, snow white beard. He wrote a book called Crossfire, The Plot That Killed Kennedy. Well, in my boredness one day, I was on Tubi app, and there is a documentary out there that Jim Mars has produced that kind of surmises some of his book. While the book, of course, is going to be better, I did set through the documentary, and there's some things in there even to, you know, I think I had seen most everything when it came to the Kennedy assassination conspiracy stuff, but he produced a couple of photos, and I'm like, holy shit.
Really?
Yeah. And it's right, one of them's right off the get-go, and I'm like, damn, he might be onto something. So if you like to read and you have thought that the Warren Commission was a dog and pony show, like most Americans did back then and still do, I suggest you pick up the book. It's on Amazon for, I take that back. This is a DVD of the what I watched. It's $20. But if you got the Tubi app, just type in Crossfire and it'll come up. I was trying to see if they had the actual book, but I do not see it. I'm sure it's out there. I think, yes, this book was the one of the bases for Oliver Stone's JFK film. So I knew that there was a huge deal with it. The documentary is about an hour and 15 minutes long. It's basically just Jim sitting at his desk going through his evidence. So it's a static camera thing. You could turn it on. I know you love to do this. You could turn it on and just listen to it and work around the house so you don't have to worry about trying to keep up with it. But he does produce some crazy, crazy ass pictures, man. So, like, I would suggest that if you are going to look up the documentary on Tubi, I would suggest watching about the first 20, 25 minutes and then most of everything else you've seen. The book they do have, it is paperback. It is $17.50, Crossfire, by Jim Mars, The Plot That Killed Kennedy. And he opens up the documentary at Jack Ruby's nightclub with a burlesque dancer and some college kid with his pants rolled up with glasses on dancing with said burlesque. And guess who it is? It's Jim Mars himself when he was a student at the Texas A&M.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah. So it gives a little credence to Jim being a local boy. But anyway, that's my recommendation. What's your recommendation? Don't eat the rock candy out of them urinals at the gas station.
That goes without saying.
Well, they're trying to trick you up now. They got them little lemon drops in that bag. Some of them gas stations got them little lemon drops, and they sure do look like lemon drops.
I'm going to recommend a TV show available on Amazon Prime starring Josh Brolin. It's called Outer Range.
If you're not a complete asshole, you won't give up on episode 6.
Don't give up on it one fucking episode before it's over. It's a really good show. I liked it. It's about a big ass hole in the middle of a field and all the shenanigans that ensues. It's very good. They're making a second season. I have no idea when it's going to come out. But I really enjoyed it. I think you will too.
Well, that's one of us that thinks so.
Well, one of us is an asshole.
And the other one,
I'm not gonna say who.
The other one's a third degree black belt asshole. All right, Coach, you got anything else for the ladies and gents out there?
You know I don't.
Deuces.